Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And tonight is Tuesday evening, and I am ready to roll. So for me, it's Tuesday evening, and as I always say, it is my favorite day of the week. My life doesn't exist without Tuesday, which last week I was not very well, and neither was my client, actually, my guest that was coming on the show. But today I'm back. It's Tuesday evening and I'm really excited to be here. Why? Because it's my show and I get to have wonderful guests on and feel my curiosity and hope tap into your curiosity about what's possible and how people fulfill on their dreams, change courses of their life. You know, like many of us, we go to school to learn one thing, but we got introduced to something completely different. And that is a new journey in our lives. And, you know, one of the things that I want about my show is I want people to know that life is not static, right? You can literally go to school to learn to, like I had a guest on the show who had went to school to become a doctor. And she actually did not finish medical school, but went into becoming a fashion designer using recyclable products, right? Like plastic bottles to make clothes and stuff like that. So you don't have to stay stuck in any area of life where you don't want to stay. And you always have to look at life as you're always growing and shifting. And that's what's so exciting about life for me. So tonight I have Gianni Cucci.
Yes.
Is that right? Did
yes,
I say it right?
Why you say it right?
Gianni, you have to come closer to the mic. So Gianni Cucci on the show, and I'm excited to have her. So I just want to give you a little bit of background how I met Gianni. So we both have a mutual friend, Phaedra. Right? Exactly. I had to say it correctly because I don't think in all the time that I've known her, I've said her name correctly. And she's always correcting me, which, you know, it's one of my bad habits, I guess. And so Phaedra had this wonderful dinner party and she had all her fashion friends and also her artistic, creative filmmaker friends there at her house. And she cooked all this wonderful food and we just had a ball, right?
We had a feast and a ball.
Absolute feast. And, you know, it's what's so great about Gianni and the guests is like you can walk down the street and they're just like any other normal human being, but when you actually stop and get an opportunity to talk to these people, you find out that they're up to some really fun stuff and they're creating their lives in ways that represent who they are and what they're about. And Gianni has, did you bring any magazines? No. Well, she has this amazing magazine that comes out like a couple times a year.
Twice a year.
Yeah. It's pretty thick. It's highly fashionable, highly curated, and it's also beautiful. So without further ado, I want to bring Gianni to the microphone and to the show and welcome her. Thank you for coming, really.
Thanks for inviting me, Noreen.
I really appreciate it.
I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, great. I know she's exhausted. She's been working all day.
Yeah, but you know.
The life has to go on, right?
Exactly.
The show has to go on. So, Gianni, tell us a little bit about yourself. And first of all, I want to know your background. Where are you from? You have this amazing accent. So I'm going to say you're probably from one of the French colonies. Am I right?
I am. I'm from a French island called Martinique, uh-huh. French West Indies.
Uh-huh. Martinique, beautiful island. And you also lived, I mean, most people from the colonies, my parents are from Jamaica, which was a colony, and we went to England. So you went to
Paris.
To Paris.
Yeah.
I love Paris. You went to Paris. And so where did you stop in America at any time or you went
I
from Martinique
came
to
actually,
America?
I came my first, when I was 17 years old, mm-hmm. I came to New York. It was my first summer
in
the US.
Did you come by yourself?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, I did.
Okay, see, we were advanced. Okay, so you lived in Paris.
I lived in Paris for a few years. Then I moved to London in the mid-90s.
Right.
And I lived in London for 15 years.
How was London? How was London?
It was amazing. It was a great time to be in London. I think I arrived at the right time. Uh-huh. You know, things was booming and, uh-huh. you know, new energy.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were originally an accountant.
I was actually studied to be an accountant. Uh-huh. I didn't get my final degree. Uh-huh. But, I did study to be an accountant for almost 3 years. Uh-huh. And it's not a job. I wanted to be a dancer mm-hmm. originally. Mm-hmm. And my mom wasn't having it. She's like, this is not a job. Right. You have to get a proper job.
Right.
You know Caribbean
yes.
parents, you know.
Well, no. Fortunately, I didn't have those kind of parents.
You have to.
I was feral. I was like a feral cat, just doing my own life.
Yeah, either have to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a nurse, or, you know, you have to have, like, what do they call, like, a steady and a secure job.
Right.
And a dancer wasn't one of them.
Well, fortunately for me, my father, and poor daddy, was ignorant. He couldn't read or write. So his concept of a stable job was get a job, get a trade. Right? So, and I had no idea. So my best bet was, I'm going to be a secretary. Yeah, I want to be a secretary. So that's what I did.
But I think at the time that would have been considered like a very, you know,
right.
a very good job.
It was a respectful job.
A very respectful job, yeah.
Yes.
So basically, yeah, I was studying to be an accountant and I used to go out a lot at the time. I started to be a club kid very early in uh-huh. my age.
What was your favorite music?
I had very eclectic taste. I mean, funk, classical, rock, house music. Techno,
right.
you know, hip-hop.
And because, like, you were in the beginnings of hip-hop, so as was I. Was it about the music and the fashion, or was it about the fashion and the music?
When I started, it was mainly because I didn't have that interest in fashion. Uh-huh. So it was mainly about the music. The music came first,
right?
I would say, yeah.
And then, like, how did you? So the music came first. How did you get into fashion? Tell us
so
that story.
So I was going out a lot, and I had this friend of mine. His name is Fifi. Was mm-hmm. a model at the time, mm-hmm. and he had this friend of his called Marielle mm-hmm. Robot, and mm-hmm. He introduced me to her, and we start, you know, talking. And I asked her what she was doing, mm-hmm. and she told me that she was a stylist. And when she said stylist, for me, she was like a designer.
Right.
And she said, no, I'm not a designer. I'm a fashion fashion editor, actually.
Right.
That is called.
What's the difference?
The different fashion editor are people who style for magazines.
Okay.
Fashion stylist, it's, you know, you style celebrity advertising, right. but fashion editor, it's for magazine.
Okay.
So she was telling me that she was traveling the world, she was going to Tahiti, to the Maldives, to Seychelles, all those amazing locations.
Right.
And
I'm
going to work
come a
little
bit there. Closer. Can you hear? Okay. Are we okay with the mic? Okay, go ahead.
And she was going there to work for like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds like a very cool job.
Right. Right.
But she didn't explain the amount of work, you know. It was just like me, I was seeing the beauty of it, like, you know, going on the plane and going to this amazing location mm-hmm. and shoot and come back. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
It sounded sexy.
Yeah, it sounds very sexy. And so I didn't see her for about a year or two. And one day I was like, you know, I decided, that's how I realized that I was never going to be an accountant. I'm right. like, there is no way. This is
so what did your
happen.
Mother say when you said, just not going to happen?
She said, you're on your own.
Oh. And what did that actually mean?
That means that if you want to be a stylist, you're going to have to earn your own money. You're right. going to have to pay your own rent. Uh-huh. So you're on your own.
So were you living at home at the time?
I was still living at my mom's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so did she tell you had to move?
She didn't tell me I have to move, but she didn't say
I'm not
to
carrying
me,
you
but it's like you're not gonna be
you're not gonna live off of my dime.
No,
all right,
so I move out uh-huh. and I was, you know, party a lot and doing, you know, bits and bits. I was a nanny, I was a waitress, I uh-huh. was, you know, all this, you know, uh-huh. trying to make ends meet. And one day I was, you know, I bought that magazine and I was going through the magazine And I saw that name, and I'm like, oh, that name looks familiar. And it was Marielle's name.
Right.
And it was a couple of years down the road. She became the fashion director of this famous French magazine called Femme.
Right. So I think I've seen it.
I'm like, you know, I'm going to give her a call. I'm not sure she's going to remember. Right. It was at the time, you know, it was very easy. You could call people.
That's when you called people.
And they will take you, you know, they will pick up the phone.
Right.
So I called, and this woman asked me where I was. Asked my name and spoke to Marielle. I don't know if you remember me, but we met through my friend Fifi a few years. And she said, of course I remember you. I'm like, listen, I'm looking for a job. And she's like, listen, I don't have, you know, a paid job for you, but if you want to do an internship, you can start. And I said, when? She's like, tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So I was, I went there and start, you know, grabbing, you know, the stairs, mm-hmm. slowly by slowly. I was first in charge of returning the clothes from shoots.
Mm-hmm. I read
it
all
wasn't,
this, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't the most glamorous job.
So returning the clothes from, returning the clothes from the shoot. So people gave you clothes to shoot?
No, basically you have, at the time, you have 4 or 5 fashion editor was working for the magazine. Mm-hmm. So sometimes some of them will shoot at the same time.
Right.
So I had this room full of clothes, and I was basically the one who organized all the return, the clothes return to the PR office.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So it was
like
a very...
Five fashion editors, like how much clothes are you talking about?
We're talking about between 10 and 20 rack of clothes.
I thought he was going to say 10 or 20 pieces.
It was a huge task. It was a very tedious job. You have to be very focused and, yeah.
So you had to get, and how many PR people did you have to get those clothes back to? Just roughly.
Roughly, maybe 100.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And that's probably like the minimum, maybe more, yeah.
And that was over a course of how many days, or?
Days, it would take me maybe 2 weeks to do the job, yeah.
So the clothes never dwindled down, there was just always more additional clothes coming along as you were going
Yeah,
along.
And you know, they just come back from shoots, so they all pack in suitcase, so you have to open the suitcase, put them on the rack, and put them in order. So at the same time, it was good because it helped me a lot to be organized.
Right.
Yeah. And that helped for the future.
For the future. But did you know that at the time that it was going to help for the future?
No, I didn't.
Okay, great. So we're going to hold that and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Gianni Cucci.
Hello.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. I just get so nervous. And we're talking, she's actually demystifying the glamour of fashion for me, or fashion magazines, which 100 pieces of clothing, constantly getting more and more clothing, having to like return them. And this is the first 2 years of her career. As the first couple of weeks, she was very fortunate. She was an apprentice. And then, how long did you apprentice for?
Apprentice for...
roughly.
Maybe 6 weeks, I would say.
6 weeks.
And I got the paid job, oh yeah, 6 weeks after.
Right.
And I did it for almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. So in those 3 years, what did you learn? And if you, like, if a person that wanted to step into the world of fashion was listening to this show, what did you learn?
I learned that fashion wasn't all about glamour.
Right. Fashion is painful.
It's labor.
It's labor intensive. Right.
All right.
And but what kept you there?
I think I was lucky because that woman really took me, Marielle, she really took me under her wing. Because after I did, like, I was in charge of returning the clothes, a main assistant was leaving. So she offered me the...
So your main assistant got knocked up.
The job of becoming a first assistant.
Right.
And, you know.
Oh, so this lady, you became the first assistant and then you got
it's almost like a promotion.
Right.
So you get to... be in charge of returning the clothes, and you get promoted to become the first assistant of the fashion director.
And was that like a big shot job? Was that like, you know?
Well, that was a big shot, but that was even more pressure too.
So tell us a little bit about that pressure of that.
Because you get to, I mean, you basically running, how do you say, a schedule. And she had the magazine job. She was the fashion director, but she also was freelancing for other jobs. For example, she was shooting advertising campaigns. She was styling fashion shows. So wherever she was going, I would go with her. I would assist her.
So did you get some of those travel perks? Did you get to go to the
Seychelles? I did. You know the travel perks I really liked? It was my favorite when I used to work at the magazine. It was, I think, a week or 2 weeks before Christmas. The beauty director will call all of us in the room and we could choose whatever, you know, skincare product or makeup that
right.
we want.
I saw your massive list of things that you can't do without. Your skincare product.
My skincare, yeah. That's
it's like this long. Literally this long. Shamelessly this long.
So that was, yeah, that was the, and also the PR used, you know, some of the PR, you became friends with them and they, you know, they give you free clothes or, you know, gifts and stuff. So that was really good, yeah.
Right. Good stuff. So I want to talk about just a little history of like fashion. So what the changes are. Like, so who would you say are more fashionable, Europeans or the Americans?
Europeans.
Who do you say has more freedom in fashion? Freedom of fashion, freedom of self-expression in fashion, Europeans or?
I would say the English people.
English people.
Yes.
And definitely. Tell me a little bit about that. What in your opinion? I mean, I would beg to agree, but you know.
I think English people always been, you know, for me, they always been like the, I'm talking about in general, it's like they have this attitude like the, you know, they can't be bothered, basically, what people think. You know, if they want to go naked on the street, they will go naked on the street. And I admire that. I mean, anyone. And, there's great designer in England, you know.
Right.
And a lot of, you know, the fashion inspiration came from England.
Right. So you'd say, would you say that the British are, they have that stiff upper lip, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to their... well, their way of dress or their self-expression, it's very freeing.
Very freeing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they're less uptight than the French and the Italians.
Right.
For sure.
You know, when I first came to the United States, you know, it was like, early 80s. I was wearing vinyl, I was wearing rubber, I was wearing all these weird clothes. My skirts were like 12 inches long. I called them snatch proof, right, or snatch length, right? And, you know, I thought Americans were supposed to be like, you know, these people that run the world. And everybody was like really sort of like dressed tightly. Nobody had any, there was no differences. Everybody kind of looked the same.
And almost like robots, yeah. Yes.
It's still the same in with the fashion, but we spend an inordinate amount of money on clothes, wouldn't you say, in America?
Oh, a lot.
Would you say they spend in America, they spend more money on clothes and style than they do in Europe?
I think they spend different.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit how different.
I think in Europe, people are probably less. I mean, now it's changed, but before when I started in fashion, they are probably have this, they didn't have this robotic attitude that they have here. Because when I first came to New York in 84, I wasn't working in fashion yet. But I already noticed that people like wear the same clothes.
Mm-hmm. It was dressed for success, 1980s, big shoulder pads.
Big shoulder pads.
You know, button down. Those little kind of rosettes that they wore on the neck. Yes, I was victim to that too. Because I was in America. It was the American way to go, you know? So I'm sorry. So, tell me, like, I want to go now into your magazine, which I'm so sorry that you didn't bring it, but what's the magazine? It's called Ubiquist?
Ubiquist.
I said it right. Yes. Ubiquist. Yes. So what was the inspiration for your magazine?
At the time, the inspiration was that I didn't see, I mean, now I think it's, I guess it changed over the years, but I didn't see a magazine who was like multicultural.
Right.
When I say multicultural, I'm talking in terms of ethnicity,
right,
music,
right,
film, right, art. Like you didn't see like people of colors,
right,
representing in
Benetton.
You would probably see like maybe once in a while,
right,
but it wasn't constant,
right,
it wasn't like a regular thing.
Well, it was only Benetton. The
United Colors of
Benetton, which was you
like
saw that one black,
the most iconic
girl
campaign of
the
80s
with the round face and the short hair. That was it for me, like, and maybe occasional boy or something like
Benetton,
that.
Benetton, yeah, was one of the first one to,
right,
to start, yeah.
And so, yeah, because your magazine is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Like, it has beautiful art. It has, you know, really creative people. You don't do mainstream, per se. Mainstream people, it's mostly, for me, people that are a little bit undergroundy.
Yeah,
but
we're
well
trying
popular
to mix. I mean, we do have sometimes people, you know, mainstream people. But I think it's nice to have the balance, like, and also to help, you know,
promote
young and promote, you know, young,
right,
people who probably wouldn't have had that platform.
Right.
So it's nice to have both.
What does it take to actually create that magazine for you?
It takes a lot of time and energy.
Right.
And anxiety and stress.
Uh-huh.
But it's a labor of love and it's a passion. So.
And that's what keeps you going.
Yes.
And how do you find your people? How do you, whoopsie, or leave it. How do you find, you know, how do you put your magazine together? Like, where does it all come from?
You put, first of all, I've got an amazing team.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be able to do the magazine without them, for sure.
Right.
Because, you know, it's nice, great to have an idea. But if you don't have anyone, you know, it's like, how do you call it? A chef d'orchestre. Like,
a
chef d'orchestre is someone who conducts the music.
A conductor.
A conductor.
Oh, God. Yes.
So you can be a very good orchestra conductor, but if you don't have your musician with,
right,
you, it's pretty much the same with a magazine.
Right. And so how do you distinguish? You do two magazines a year.
Yeah, we biannual, yeah. It's,
right.
And it's already a lot of work. I don't know how people can do a monthly magazine. Honestly, you know, respect.
Right.
A lot of respect.
So you do two magazines per year. So when do you start actually working? So it's 6 months a piece, right?
6 months a piece, yeah.
And when do you actually start working on each magazine?
I don't really have time off, to tell you the truth, because the minute when it's released. Because I don't have the structure of a big corporation. I'm not Condé Nast.
Right.
I'm not, you know, Hearst. I don't have this big, you know, big money behind me. Mm-hmm. It's all almost like it's homemade.
Grassroots.
Yeah.
So but it doesn't. I don't have homemade. Really, she says homemade, but truthfully, it is beautiful. There's nothing homemade about that.
It is homemade.
I got that, but it's beautiful.
Thank you.
The quality of paper, you know, the way it's put together, the art, it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's mean. I mean, there's something, what's the name? She say, which is, I think it's really, it made me laugh at the time, but I think she was very right. It's Issa Rae. Uh-huh. She says there is a lot of creativity in Brokenness. And I think she's damn right when she say that.
There is a lot of
because
creativity.
Because you have to compete with other people who have so much more money than you.
Right.
So it may give you like even more, you know, you're more driven, I think.
Right. Wow. So tell me the layout. How do you kind of lay it out for somebody here, okay, thank you. So for somebody that was looking to do a magazine, how do you lay it out? How do you get the people? Are you now got to the point where people come to you, or you're still going to people?
I still have to go to people because we're not like a mainstream, but some people, I mean, there is both. The thing is, I knew who I wanted to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a pretty clear idea who I wanted to work with. I didn't know if they were going to say yes, but I was happy that the 99% of the people I wanted.
And so what did you have to overcome in yourself to actually reach out and make the request?
My shyness.
Okay.
Because I don't like to ask favor.
Uh-huh.
And I have to come over that.
You had to overcome that.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break there and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
I love a jewelry.
And we are back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're talking about fashion, fashion magazine, passion, hard work, hard grafting. It's not as glamorous as we see in the actual final product. It's a labor of love. It's sweat. I'm sure there's some blood there.
There's sweat, there's tears, there's a little bit of blood. For the drama.
But it wouldn't be fashion.
But no one get murdered. Right. So that's good.
At least yet.
Not yet.
So one of the things that you mentioned was you hate asking for the things that you need. But like, how long have you been running the magazine now?
In October, it's going to be 4 years.
Wow. So did the 4 years come quickly or was it slow?
I think it came quickly.
So that's
because
what, two,
it feel like
two
yesterday.
Four, six, eight. So there's eight copies of your magazine.
Eight copies, yeah.
Of your magazine out there.
There are actually nine copies because there was an issue zero, but it was never like put on sale. It was just like a test issue. Mm-hmm. But Officially, yeah, we already did like nine issues.
Right.
But eight for the public.
So who are you today that you weren't those 4 years ago? How have you grown?
Oh, yes, very quickly.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I learned that, first of all, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Right.
I knew it would be difficult, for sure, but I didn't know it would be that difficult.
Uh-huh.
Because the main thing for a magazine to function is to get advertisers,
mm-hmm.
and that it's been a real struggle.
Do you have advertisers now, or a few?
A few, but some of the labels, they still, like, you have very, like, big label like Gucci or Valentino, they still refuse to lend close to the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this label, some label you want them to advertise because, you know, they can, you know, they have the money and, mm-hmm. you know, they can bring, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to give up because, you know, Vuitton or Valentino or Prada is not going to advertise them in magazine. I'm sure there is other labels less famous, or, you know,
right,
it's a work in progress.
So let's talk about the artists that are in your magazine. So what, how do you choose the art?
I do a lot of research, actually mainly on Instagram,
right.
I found a lot of them on Instagram and Facebook, and also word of mouth, like friends who like find, oh, this one will be amazing for your magazine,
right.
Or, you know, or somewhere, oh, check this link, that person I think will be good for your magazine.
Right.
So it's a mixture, yeah, of my research and other friends, or, you know.
So I'm going to say that hearing that from you tells me you have a really good eye. How have you developed that eye, or is it like heart?
It's from the heart, yeah. It's not so. I think it's just something in me. I don't know how to explain it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, the years of grafting, putting those clothes together, how has that helped you in curating and putting things together? And did it help you to become more detailed?
Yeah, and it's also helped you to edit, you mm-hmm. know, too, because, you know, when you do a magazine, and because we do like 228 pages, which is a lot.
200, and what's the average magazine, what pages?
Without advertising?
Yeah.
Probably less.
Well, it's a lot less, probably like what, 20?
Because some of them, they probably have like as much advertising as and less content.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have a lot of art, a lot of fashion.
We have art, fashion, film, music, sometimes design. We also talk a lot.
You have articles.
About social issues,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and most of the artists actually we made feature, they like very like people who speak, you know, who,
right.
who engage into, like, you know, either a social cause or, you know.
So if you could have anybody in your magazine, other than the advertisers, right? We all
yeah.
get to that. But if you could have anybody in your magazine, who would you like to have? Apart from me.
Okay. If I could have anybody in my magazine,
uh-huh.
I would love to have Cicely Tyson.
Oh, okay. Cicely Tyson.
Yes.
Why Cicely Tyson?
Because she's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a woman of a certain age now.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Wait, what is she? Is she near
90 or something? I think she's in the early
90s. Wow.
Yeah, so that's why I would love
right.
to have her.
So if there's anybody out there that's connected, you know, they say 3 degrees of separation. There's anybody out there that knows Cicely Tyson?
Or knows a granddaughter or a
yes.
grandson. Or
and that goes for you guys over here. If you know, if anybody knows Cicely Tyson, you know, she would love to have her in the magazine. I'm gonna ask for her. So Cicely Tyson, who else? Let's do one man, one woman.
Okay, so Cicely Tyson, the man will be, I mean, I already had one that I was dying to have, Melvin Van Peebles.
Oh yeah.
He was in issue 6. So the other one actually is dead.
I was going to get to that one, but, you know.
It would have been Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Sidney Poitier or...
Sidney Poitier
somebody,
is a good
what's
one.
What's that other guy? Dale.
Harry Belafonte. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because I can see them in
Harry
your...
Belle Infante, absolutely.
I can see them in your magazine. Because they're kind of, they're very iconic, you know, and they're still very current. And they're also...
And
they're
we have, actually, we did have Jesse Williams in issue 7.
Who's Jesse Williams? Do I not
the
know?
The activist, the actor, is playing in that TV series.
I don't watch TV.
Yeah. Oh, you don't watch TV, okay. No.
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy, sorry.
Yes. So if you could have somebody who is dead come back and be in your magazine.
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Okay. Who else? Woman now.
Woman to bring back from the dead. Maybe Dorothy Dandridge would be.
I was just thinking the same thing. Dorothy Dandridge. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she will have very interesting stuff to say about Hollywood.
What about all the new, young, millennial type?
And you know what? Another one. Josephine Baker would have been a good one.
Who?
Josephine Baker. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know you love Zora Neale Hurston.
Oh, I love her. She's one of my favorite writers.
Right. And what about the Harlem Renaissance type?
Oh, all of them.
All of them. Right.
Langston Hughes. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, because your magazine gives me that vibe. Right, it you know, like your magazine, like 20, 30 years from now, would be sort of like an iconic type magazine that was very sort of not like high fashion, not low fashion, but like really creative, yeah. And really just not like mainstream or commercial fashion, like a whole different world, like just it's almost like. There's a square, but you're not a square. You're like a square that's...
We're almost like a square, but we're not a square.
Yeah, exactly. You're not a square. You'll never be a square. Or you're a square that's kind of slightly off. You know, like that kind of thing. That's how I see your fashion magazine. So what is it that you ultimately want to happen to the magazine? Because some people build up things and to sell it.
Yes.
Or what do you want to happen?
I would like to have investors and advertisers. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that a lot of people are looking for, advertisers and investors and stuff like that. So, like, if an advertiser and an investor was listening to this show right now, what would you say to them?
Let's talk.
Okay. And what are we going to talk about?
Let's talk, about the magazine. Mm-hmm. How they can help and hope they don't want to disturb what we're doing and change the whole concept of
right, you want to keep the concept as the concept.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to suggestion, but I wouldn't want someone to come and just change. You know, I met that person actually about 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And that woman was she had some interest mm-hmm. to invest in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And the first thing she said to me, she said she wanted to fire all my writers, all my teams. And
right.
I'm like, why? She said, oh, I just want to bring new people.
Right.
And I say, can you tell me which people? She said, oh, I'm going to find them.
Oh, so she didn't really have
any... She didn't I'm like...
She just wanted to... It was,
yeah.
Just, was it more like control?
Yeah, I think it was a control thing.
Right.
And I'm like, this is not going to work. So you really have to be careful. I mean, it's nice to find an investor... But
you
have to be careful who you associate yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to sign a contract with the devil. Because that's going to be...
He might want to be on the front cover.
Without you knowing it.
Exactly. It's like... So, so what do you want for your life?
Me, I want a pretty simple life. I want to go back to the West Indies and just... Be on the beach, have a shack, and open maybe a restaurant like
you
twice,
will never have
twice
a, shack.
A week, and that's it.
You will never have a shack. There's just too much beauty in your life.
But that's how I see my life. I'm getting old, but I could carry on doing the magazine from there.
Right.
But maybe help some new kids and just be like a mentor.
Right. So that's what you'd like to do.
Yeah, being
a mentor. So for you to have a restaurant that only opens 2 days a week in the Caribbean, you know it's got to be like a happening spot. It's like, we don't
it's
even
going
know.
To be the it has,
it's
spot.
Got, it's got to be the happening spot because it's got to be something like, oh, I don't know if she's coming in today. I don't know if we're going to open today. And so people...
Let's keep her in.
Yes.
Let's call.
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe I'll just get out of my chaise and come over. Or open the door, because you wouldn't be doing the cooking. Somebody else is going to be doing the cooking.
Or just, you know, like an eco-lodge or something like a hotel, but you have to be kind of like...
Right, eclectic.
Eclectic, and yeah. And maybe have like, you know, it would be nice. I mean, if of course, if I had the money... had like a residence thing for the young kids, uh-huh. and you know, you become a mentor, you know, you call a couple of your friends and uh-huh. say, you know, do you want to come for a residence for 2 or 3 weeks helping kids? And I'm sure they will say yes.
Absolutely.
So that would be a great thing to do, I think.
So I'm just going to recap. You came here from?
London.
What, tell me about
so this. I'm going to be, actually, you know what? I realize I'm going to be an official New Yorker in September.
Say that again, what?
So because apparently when you've been in New York for more than 10 years, uh-huh. you can call yourself a New Yorker.
I thought it was 7 years.
Someone told me 10 years, so maybe it's 7 years.
It was 7 years when I got here, maybe inflation.
So apparently it's 10 years. So I'm going to be a New Yorker officially in September.
Well, I'm going to be possibly by the end of the year, between the beginning of the year, I'll be a citizen of the United States.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God, that took something. That took something
for
me to do that.
I'm far from that.
It took something for me to do that. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Yeah, that took something for me to do
that. You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And you know what I love about you? From the moment I met you, there's this like, it's like a black velvety, like silk velvet. Just your flow, your energy is just so laid back and cool.
I grew up in the West Indies, maybe.
Is that what it is? Oh, no. But, you know, it's... It's just really easy.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it seems that way. I'm not saying it is, but to me, the way I pick up your energy, it seems really easy, really laid back.
No, I am a pretty laid back person.
Right. Just smooth. Like, you know, it takes something to rattle you.
Yeah, but
when you go rattled, you go deep. Yeah. Okay, so tell us about Ubiquist. How did you come up with the name? And what does it mean?
Ubiquist came from the word ubiquitous.
Okay.
Which was way too long for a title. So I wanted something with a twist.
Uh-huh.
And Ubiquist just popped in. I'm like, oh, you be twist now. You be, oh, something with a twist.
Right.
So you be twist. So and it's being, the meaning of ubiquitous, it means being a different place at the same time.
Okay. Okay. I can't see that, but I get it. Being in two places at one time, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Hurts my back. So where can people find it, your magazine? And how can people get your magazine?
So you, the best thing is to go on the Ubiquis website. Mm-hmm. It's www.ubiquismag.com.
Or you spell the Ubiquis.
UBIKWIST.
Okay.
Mag.com.
MAG.
MAG.com. Or you can go on our Instagram page, which is the same name, Ubiquis Mag, or the Facebook page, mm-hmm. Ubiquis Magazine, mm-hmm. and UbiquisMag.com.
Right.
And you get all the infos.
And if somebody wanted to, is it a subscription magazine?
We have subscription on the website.
Right. And where can we find it if we wanted to? Because I know I saw it at Newsom. I know your Newsom House.
Do you know Newsom?
Newsom House, beautiful, beautiful co-working space. And your magazine fits in perfectly because they have awesome magazines there.
They do have a good selection of magazines there.
Right, yeah. I've seen it there, definitely. And it's one of those ones that, I feel so guilty because I can't steal them. I feel so guilty. They have such great magazines and I want to steal them. And I'm just like, I can't. It's not like a common magazine. You feel guilty. I feel guilty. But where else can people find it?
The last issue is only came out in digital. But you can go, if you go to the iTunes, you can actually get the app for free. You can download the Ubiquis Magazine app and you can buy the magazine. And you can also buy it from the other website called pocketmags.com. So it's www.pocketmags.com.
Pocket. P-O-C-K-E-T.
Like a pocket, yes.
Right. Pocketmags. M-A-G.
M-A-G-S.com.
Right. Got
so,
that?
But the easiest, yeah, you go on iTunes, you download the Ubiquis Magazine app, and you can get your issue.
So is this all digital? Can they get it? Hard copy?
It's all the spring summer issue is all digital.
Oh wow. Yes. So you're going digital. Are you ever going to go back to paper?
No, we're going to go back to paper for the next one.
So where would they get, like, if they wanted back copies?
Oh, back copies on the website. We have back copies on the website.
So, but no back copies, hard copy.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
We do have
cool.
a hard copy. Yeah.
Okay. So We've got the website, we've got the... And so what about people who wanted to, you know, put themselves forward and help him maybe find that boy that's going to carry your bag?
Same thing, all info's on the website, or you can just write at info@ubiquismag.com.
Right, so if you're looking for like... So what kind of... If you were looking for an intern or a creative person or somebody that wanted to... contribute it to your magazine. What is that thing that you're looking for from that person?
I think first of all I need to meet that person because it's very difficult to. I mean, even if the person can have the most amazing resume, I still have to meet. I go with my gut
energy. Right.
So I still.
So you'll look at that stuff, but you need to meet the person.
I need to meet the person face to face.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're old school.
I am very old school.
You're old school.
Maybe
okay.
too old school sometimes.
But what's the one thing that your gut is always consistent with that person?
I listen to my instinct. I would say so far it was always be good. It has always been good.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that you want me? I usually do this with some people. Is there anything that you want to tell me to ask you, before we end? Is there anything? How's your mother doing with your magazine now and your fashion?
Mother still think I'm crazy.
Well, you have to be crazy to go for what you want to do. If you weren't
but
crazy,
I
you'd have been an accountant.
I think somehow she's kind of proud. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me, but I can see when she talked to her friends about the magazine.
Right. Look what my daughter did. And how does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me happy to make her happy.
Right.
Yeah.
And are you proud of your
work? I think she would be happy because, you know, we talk about it. I think she would be much happier if she sees me in a... If I had more financial security, yeah, she would be happier.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things, but, like, you have to
follow... But, you know, your parents always worried for you.
Right, yeah, no matter what. Yeah, no exactly. What, so. You could be 155 and they're still thinking that you're two and,
it's
you know...
True. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess with time you learn that.
I mean, you know, when I spend time with my mom, I still think that I'm like, Mom, I'm not 15 anymore. I'm not 14 anymore.
Right. Yeah, my mother wanted to braid my hair. My mother stopped braiding my hair when I was 11. Okay? And she's like, can I braid your hair? I was like, touch not this hair. Touch not. Because you didn't want to do it when I was, you know. Now.
But she wants to reconnect.
I yeah, that's too
that's
late,
good,
babe.
That's a good thing.
I love it. Reconnect. We can have a drink. We can drink. We go hang out at the beach and stuff like that. But we can't do that now anyway. But it's too late for that. But, yeah, anything you want me to ask you?
Oh, my God, that's a tough one. What
it always is. Or is there anything that you want to tell people that they don't know that they don't know? Tell your friends.
What they don't know about me?
Emmanuel said, Austin, you moved to the app. Congrats. Billy? Hey, Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Hey, Billy. Yes, so they've moved to the... yeah. So anything.
I mean, I have no idea, honestly.
Are you happy? Are you happy with your choices?
I think I am.
Yeah?
I think I am. Honestly, I can't picture myself in a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
I mean, it's difficult what I'm doing, you know, because you don't have the security. Sometimes you work and sometimes for weeks there is no work. And it's, you know, it's like a roller coaster.
Right.
But, you know, I put myself into that, so.
But it's it's a part of it.
Yeah, it is. It's life.
Right. It's a part of it, and it's your life.
It's my life and my choices, yeah. So there are always good things and, you know, bad things.
I never say bad things. There's always the good things and things that don't work.
That don't work, yeah.
And then the things that don't work, we change it or get rid of it and create something new.
Exactly.
And that's the aspect of being creative. And you're the perfect person to have that life that you've created for yourself.
I guess.
Well, it ain't me. I've got my life. You've got yours, you know. But it's awesome. I mean, like, what are some of the feedback that you've gotten about the magazine from people?
I get amazing feedback,
right?
You know, people, like, you know, they really, really like them. I mean, there are some, I was really surprised because I get some really, really hardcore fans. I mean, it's like, yeah. And now we have, you know, it's considering we started like 4 years ago, we have 152 stockists worldwide.
Oh, wow.
So now we sell in Korea, in Japan, in Shanghai, in Lebanon, and all the main European capital.
Right.
Here, magazine doing really well here. We have a few cities in the U.S., so it's good. And I hope it's, you know...
It's going the way you want it to go.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you is that you have organic growth.
Yes. Because right. I don't have the financial resources to have big advertising campaign and stuff like, you know, what other magazine does, you know, when they launch an issue or have the big party. And so I don't have that. So you have to find a way to do it, you know.
And you're doing it. So high five.
I'm trying.
No, you're not trying. You're doing it. So we have 2 more minutes to the end of the show. And first of all, I want to acknowledge you for, like, fulfilling on your dreams, going beyond your potential, because that's what it is. It's like going beyond our potential, sticking with the thing that we are really passionate about, that we care about, because at the end of our lives, we want to know that we lived a full life doing the things that we love. You don't want to lay on your bed going, yeah, well,
No, because the last thing I want is like, is what, to be an accountant. What if?
That's what you would have had if you'd have been an accountant.
I would have been miserable.
What if?
I would have been miserable,
right? But you're happy. You might not have, but you have everything you want when you
but
want
But you
it.
Know what? Actually, study to be an accountant really helps me now.
Right.
Really. And you know what? Everything come back in circle.
Exactly. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
you guys for joining her on her Facebook Live. Gianni, it was a pleasure having you on the show. And if you need to reach her, it's
ubiquismag.com.
And this is Noreen Sumter from Noreen Sumter Coach, .com. If you want to talk to me, say hello, get your coaching on. I'm the girl to call because I rock the house. My clients are doing really well. Just spoke to a client this week who moved to Chicago and got a promotion of her life. So this is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.